Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Today we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 34. And the title of this message is The Cure for Anxiety. The Cure for Anxiety. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, the words of our Lord. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father in heaven, we thank you once again that you have revealed yourself to us through Holy Scripture. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. We thank you for his willingness to come down, to incarnate himself. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and our hearts are filled with joy over what we have in you and all that you've done for us. And Father, I just pray that in the next few minutes that you would give me the words, that you would give me this message, and Lord, that you would change us, that you would transform us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't have to tell you that lots of people worry. Many people worry, especially this time of year. And generally, how it works is kind of like this. We make it through the holidays, and we're on a high. We get presents. We get to hang out with family and friends. We enjoy good food. We play games. We have all kinds of fun. I mean, who doesn't love the holidays? But as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. And after New Year's, many people sink into what's called seasonal depression. The holidays are over. It's dark and cold, although this year it's not all that cold. We're not spending as much time with family and friends. We're kind of isolated, and many people sink into depression. All these factors come together, and it can be really hard for some people to deal with it. They worry, they become depressed, they're more irritable. It can be really hard to get through. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you deal with that. Well, whether you deal with it or not, I want to suggest to you that everyone deals with worry and anxiety. Of course, we all deal with it to differing extents. We've all heard the hit song before. This is going back probably 30 years. But that song by Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. But that song and that logo, whatever you want to call it, it's easier said than done. You know, I can stand up here and I can tell you, stop worrying so much. You just need to relax. But it's easier said than done. You know, and I know that life is more complicated than that. And so if you're going to stop worrying, if you're going to stop being anxious, then there needs to be good reason to do so, to follow that course of action. And of course, you need help. You need help outside of yourself. In short, you need God. And you need God's cure for anxiety. Well, today from God's Word, I'm going to give you six reasons not to worry. Six reasons not to worry. In fact, you'll find them in your bulletin insert. I'm going to show you why it doesn't make sense to live in fear, to live with anxiety, how it doesn't benefit you, it doesn't enrich your life, it just adds stress to your life. Now, it's important to note that this is for Christians. I've said this many times as we've worked our way through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to born-again believers. That's not to say that an unregenerate person can't benefit from this message, but he's addressing those who are in a state of grace. One of the problems with unbelievers is that they don't worry enough. They're just living life, they're chilling, they're being happy, they're following that song. They're showing little, if any, concern for the state of their souls. So they need to worry more. They need to realize that one day they're going to stand before a holy God and give an account for their lives. So all that to say that this message is for Christians, and generally speaking, we as Christians, we need to worry less. As I look at this audience, you, me, us, we need to worry less. So here's six reasons not to worry. Number one, true life is more than the basic needs of life. True life, and we're going to have to define true life, but it's more than the basic needs, those necessities of life. Look at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, Jesus said, do not be anxious, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now think about what Jesus is saying. Obviously, he's addressing those basic needs of life, things like food and water and clothing. So maybe you're wondering, shouldn't we be concerned about those things? Those are just essentials. Those are what we would call needs as opposed to wants. Well, the last time we were in Matthew, this is taking us back a couple weeks, we were looking at the theme of not storing up treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Jesus was talking about not making money your God, your master. But now there's a switch. Instead of talking about excess and what we might call idolatry, Jesus is talking about these basic needs. Well, obviously, there's a reason for this. There's always a logic to Scripture and to the teaching of Christ. So in the same way money can become our God, the thing that we live for, so too is it very possible for the physical body to become our idol. We live in a world that is encouraging us and even compelling us in this direction, to turn our bodies into idols. That's one of the big messages that we get from the media and even from the people around us. We're told to elevate the body, turn it into a god. Now, you won't hear that. You won't hear people say you should worship your body, but that's essentially what the messages are. That's what they're saying. And this happens primarily in two ways. Either it's through the indulgence of the flesh. So think of food, think of pleasure, think of sex, recreation, those kind of things. Or it's through asceticism, that is, denying the body. So people, maybe they go on strict diets. That's one of the big New Year's resolutions. People go on a food diet. Or people get gym memberships. They become obsessive over how they look. But in both cases, instead of money or something else, the body is the idol. A person's body becomes their god. And friends, we know what the scriptures tell us. God is a jealous God. He will not compete with any form of idolatry. Now, having said that, of course, it's good to watch what you eat. It's good to stay in shape. It's good to practice self-denial. I'm not saying that all those things are bad, but I am saying that we must always strive to guard against idolatry. We're really good at idolatry, at turning things, even ourselves, into idols. So the body was never meant to be our God. But go back to what Jesus said. We want to see how this all fits together. Jesus said, Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Well, this is a rhetorical question because the obvious answer is yes. We need to feed ourselves, we need to clothe ourselves. In fact, we've been doing that ever since the fall when God clothed Adam and Eve in the garden. But we must understand that life is more than food. Life is more than clothing. What Jesus is saying here is just so profound if you think about it. Human beings are not simply animal in nature. We're not just body. We're not just physical. We're not simply material. We are body and soul. We are body and spirit. And so life is not simply about satisfying those fleshly, earthly desires. That's what the animals do. Now, that's not to say that animals aren't relational. They are to an extent. But not like we are. We don't think of them as being body and soul. You see, as image bearers of the triune God, we are body and soul. We're set apart from the animal world. So just to reiterate and just to repeat the words of Jesus, life is more than the body. And so when Jesus talks about having eternal life, he's not just talking about our earthly body continuing on in a state of immortality. In other words, not dying. When Jesus talks about having an abundant life, John 10:10, he's not talking about a life where all our fleshly, earthly desires are met. He's talking about another kind of life, something far greater, something that's beyond the physical, beyond this earthly life. Friends, true life, and by true life, I mean life in Christ. It far surpasses anything that this world can offer us. And us Christians, we're slow learners because we live as if this world is the best it gets. It's like it's supposed to be our best life now. And so Jesus is saying, don't worry about your basic needs. Don't worry about all the things that the world, that the Gentiles concern themselves with. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, just to clarify, Jesus isn't saying don't worry about basic needs. He's not saying don't worry about showing up for work, being a good citizen. Don't worry about providing for your family. He's not saying that. But he's reminding us what life is all about. We are creatures created in the image of God. We're not just animal. And if you limit yourself to satisfying those basic physical needs, but not showing concern for your soul, then you are lacking in understanding. You're deceived. You don't understand what life is all about. So again, just to summarize, true life, that is life in Christ, is more than satisfying basic needs. Don't worry yourself. Don't fret over your body and your physical needs. We're going to see, as we work through this passage, that God's going to take care of you. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He's going to take care of you. So focus on the things that God tells us to focus on. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Nourish your mind every day. Feed on God's manna. Take a look at number two, the second reason not to worry. That is, God takes care of the birds and the flowers. Let's first look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. And then this question, are you not more valuable than they? So this is the first of two illustrations that Jesus gives, and they're both very powerful. Jesus is saying, look at the birds. Look at the birds. They're fascinating. Now, I'm not a bird watcher, but I love birds, and there's a little bird that kind of hangs out in those back windows there. And so I come in here during the week, and I'll pray or just sing or whatever. That's the kind of thing I do when I'm here at the church. But there's this little bird, and he's always hanging out back there. And it was a reminder to me this week that bird is a creation, a creature of God. But God takes care of the birds. Jesus says they don't sow nor reap or gather into barns. Now, obviously, we're a long ways removed from the New Testament culture of Jesus' day. But we know what he has in mind here. He has in mind farmers. What do farmers do? Well, they sow their crops in the spring. Then they reap them or they harvest them in the fall. And then they store them away. They wait for an opportune time to sell them or to use that grain. What's interesting, that's still how it works today. That's still what farmers do. They sow, they reap, and then they gather. Although the reaping and the gathering, they're almost simultaneously. They happen pretty close together. The only difference is that today farmers have this enormous equipment that allows them to do maybe 1,000 times more than farmers of Jesus' day. But it's the same idea, sowing, reaping, gathering. What's the point? What is Jesus saying here? Well, he's saying that while the farmer takes the initiative to plant and to harvest and to gather, the birds of the air, they don't do that. They might have to go hunting for their food and gathering it, but it's not nearly as complicated as the farmer. Their gathering is pretty simple. So Jesus is saying that God feeds the birds. He takes care of them, even though they don't realize it. Well, then Jesus gives us another illustration in verse 28. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Now, we're anxious about a lot of things, but here he chose to address the whole matter of clothing. There was a lot of people who, in that day, they were very poor. Maybe they struggled to put clothing on the backs of their children. But Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So the flowers, here's the other illustration. They don't have to work to provide for themselves. They can't even go anywhere. You know, the birds, at least they fly around. But the grass and the flowers, God just feeds them. They're stationary. God provides for them. And yet, they're beautiful. Jesus says that even King Solomon, the great king, the wisest king to ever live, the richest king to ever live, he was not taken care of. He wasn't clothed like the flowers are clothed. What Jesus is doing is arguing from the lesser to the greater. With both of these illustrations, Jesus is saying, look, if God can take care of the birds, if he can take care of the flowers of the field and the grass and the plants, then don't you think that he can take care of you? Do you really think that your problems are too big for God to handle? Friends, how silly it would be to worry about this, to worry about these kinds of things. God has promised to take care of you, and He will take care of you. The only question is, will you trust Him? So number two, God takes care of the birds and the flowers. Number three, this is from verse 27, worry doesn't benefit you. Worry doesn't benefit. Which of you, by being anxious, Jesus asks, can add a single hour to his span of life? I think by now Jesus would have had his audience thinking. I hope you're thinking here this morning. Jesus is saying, think about all the times that you've been worried, that you've fretted over something. How did that benefit you? How did that change the situation? Did it enrich your life? Did it make you healthier? Do you think that now because you've worried, you're going to live longer? I think if we were honest, we would all admit that our worry doesn't help us. It doesn't benefit us. It certainly doesn't have the power to change the situation. We can worry and worry and worry. It's still not going to change whatever it is we're worrying about. Now, having said that, there's no question that worry can affect our behavior. It can affect our decisions. It can cause us to act in ways that we wouldn't normally act. Sometimes that's a good thing. But worry itself, we can all admit, does not benefit. And as Jesus reminds us, worry doesn't have the power to add even a single hour to your span of life, the duration of your life. In fact, those who worry and obsess over things, we could argue that they're going to live shorter lives, that can actually decrease the span of their life. Remember, a couple years ago, our van was due for a transmission change. And I knew that. They had told me when I got the car or the van serviced. But foolishly, I was trying to save money at the time. So I put it off, and I put it off. And eventually, I started to notice that the van wasn't shifting right. It wasn't working the way that I knew. You drive your car a long time, you know how it works, and it felt to me like it wasn't shifting right. So as soon as I could, I got the van in, got the transmission fluid changed. But even after, you know, they told me, they didn't say anything, they seemed to indicate that it was fine, but even for like a couple months after that, I was still worried sick, I was worried that I had somehow wrecked the van. That worry just didn't disappear. So finally, I took it in, and I had one of the mechanics look at it again. And actually, he drove around with me in the van for a couple minutes. And he assured me, yes, everything is fine. You didn't wreck your van. And so I was kind of like, phew, you know, I didn't blow it. But think about that. Think about my little illustration. I'm worried sick over this van. Every time I'm driving it, I'm worrying, wondering how are we going to pay for it if we have to get a new tranny. But how did that benefit me? How did that add to my life? And I could tell you many other stories of times where I worried over something, I fretted over something, and it didn't benefit me. It didn't add to my life. I'm sure you could tell me stories as well. So worry doesn't benefit us. That's what Jesus is saying. Take a look at verse 30. Verse 30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So number four, worry shows a lack of faith. And not just any faith, but faith in God. Now, I mentioned earlier that Jesus used two illustrations. And in those illustrations, He argues from the lesser to the greater. If God can take care of the birds, then He can take care of you. If God can clothe the lilies, the flowers, then he can also take care of you. He can provide for you, whatever the need may be. And friends, we have to understand that if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, then you are one of his precious children. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He cares for you in ways that you can't even begin to understand. And in light of that knowledge, why do we worry? Why are we so anxious? Well, the answer is very simple. It's because of our lack of faith. As Jesus puts it, O you of little faith. We have little faith. Instead of great faith, we have little faith. Now, this is actually the first of five times in the Gospel of Matthew, so we're going to encounter this again and again as we work through this Gospel, where Jesus says this, O you of little faith, you of little faith. He's scolding the disciples for their lack of faith. Now, by this point, we're still in the first half of the Gospel. But by this point, the disciples, they had witnessed countless miracles. They had seen Jesus perform signs and wonders all over the place. They'd heard his teaching. Didn't they get it? Didn't they realize that Jesus was trustworthy and sufficient? Didn't they realize that he could take care of them? But friends, we could ask that of ourselves. Why do we doubt? Why do we worry? Why are our hearts filled with anxiety? Friends, we have a Heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares for us. And so it really doesn't make sense to worry over things. But here's another question for you. Okay, we can all relate to this lack of faith, but here's an important question. Is your faith growing? Maybe in the past you've lacked faith, but are you seeing more and more that God is able, that Jesus is sufficient, that he will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus? That's Philippians 4:19. Friends, I hope and pray that your faith is growing. You see, when we realize that God cares for us, we don't have to worry anymore. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to worry at all. I realize that you're a human being. I'm human. We're going to worry. But our worry and our anxiety and our stress can go way down if we just realize that we don't have to provide for ourselves. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to know the future and all the variables and all those kind of things. We don't have to have it all planned out because God already does. And so it's not just about us. It's not just about how good we are and how well we perform. It's all about God. Do we trust him? I love what it says in 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Friends, are you casting all your anxieties upon the Lord God? Friends, every time we worry, it demonstrates a lack of faith in God. It shows us that we don't see God for who he is, our Heavenly Father. It also shows that we're not willing to put our lives in his hands. So we need to pray, Lord, take my little faith and give me great faith. Lord, take my faith, which is weak and feeble, and take it to the next level. Help me to give my worry and my anxiety over to you. Let's take a look at number five. Number five. God already knows our needs. God already knows our needs. Therefore, do not be anxious. This is verses 31 and 32. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, there's no question that many people who were hearing Jesus teach in that moment, they were on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, they would have had very little in the way of food and clothing. They were poor. Jesus once said, you will always have the poor among you. That was true back then. It's true of us as well. So these kind of questions, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? They would have been relevant. They would have been legitimate. But look at what Jesus says. He says that Gentiles or non-Jews seek after all these things. We could think of this in terms of non-Christians, people who don't know Jesus. But going back to point number one, if the physical body is all that we're living for, then something is missing. Christians are called to a very different kind of life. So just to focus on the body and satisfying its needs, that means we lose sight of eternity. We forget that life is more than the body. And so again, if this earthly life is all there is for us, then yeah, we're going to worry. We're going to be anxious. We're going to be fearful. We're going to lack those things that we so desperately want: peace, joy, and hope. Friends, we as Christians are called to live a life of humble dependence upon Jesus. When we yield ourselves to Him, when we start to see how He takes care of us, how He loves us, it's so freeing. It's wonderful. We start to see that we don't need to worry and we don't need to fret over every little thing. That's counterproductive. That gets in the way of our Christian service. And yes, it's true that we have needs. We all have needs. But God the Father knows what we need. He knows all that we need. Think of what Jesus said earlier in chapter 6, and this had to do with praying. But He said, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. That was back in verse 8. So friends, God already knows our needs. The question is, do we trust Him to supply those needs? I can tell you with absolute certainty that if you yield yourself to God, if you put your life in His hands, then He will take care of you. And friends, He's going to take care of you much better than you can take care of yourself. He will provide for you in a way that far surpasses whatever you could do for yourself in your own strength. So you might as well just give it over to God. You might as well just save yourself a whole lot of stress and worry and anxiety and put your life in the Master's hands. Take a look at verse 34. This is number 6 from verse 34. Therefore, this is kind of like the conclusion, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So this brings us to number 6. Worry shows that we are preoccupied with the future. So friends, this is the concluding verse of our passage and chapter 6 as a whole. And really, it serves as a summary statement for the whole passage. Jesus says here for the third time, don't be anxious, don't worry. Hopefully by now we get it. If Jesus says something three times, then we should take note of that. It's important. But this time it's a little different. Instead of being anxious about your life, Jesus says, anxious about tomorrow. It's interesting. If you think about it, most of our worry has to do with the future. Isn't that what we worry about? We worry about the future, the present. We already know what's going on in the present, but we worry about the future. We think to ourselves, if I don't have enough money, how are we going to live? How are we going to eat and survive? Or if we go back to my van illustration, what if the transmission conks out? How am I going to pay for a new one? What are we going to do in a month when we can't pay all the bills? Or we worry about our kids and our grandkids and the kind of future in store for them. You know, we're worried about what this world is coming to. Friends, all these worries and these fears have to do with tomorrow and beyond. But don't you just love the words of Jesus? He says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to have problems of its own. So it's like he's saying, just take things day by day, moment by moment. You see, when we worry, we get into all these hypothetical scenarios. And that just serves to cause us further worry and stress. We say to ourselves, well, if the tranny is shot in the van, then that's going to be a few thousand to fix. Then we're going to get behind on the house payment. And then that's going to affect this, that, and the other thing. And on it goes. That's kind of the trail of worry, this endless trail of worry. But it's unnecessary, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Only God knows that. And notice how Jesus didn't say, well, don't worry because you're not going to have any more problems. Life for the Christian is great, it's grand, it's fun, it's easy, it's exciting. He didn't say that. He doesn't ever say that. And that's because Jesus is always realistic. He's always truthful. And he said there, each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that right? Every day has trouble, and we need to deal with that trouble. So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer. You will suffer. We just can't escape this fallen world that we live in. But in light of that, in light of the fact that we will have trouble, then don't worry about tomorrow. Deal with those problems when tomorrow comes, but focus on today. Focus on getting through the day, being faithful in the moment. Now, just to clarify, I think this is important to make note of. Jesus is not saying don't plan. He's not saying don't prepare for the future, don't make plans of any kind. But he is saying don't be preoccupied with the future. Friends, we just don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week holds or next month, let alone next year. The only thing that I can tell you with certainty is that we are going to have problems. We are going to suffer. And Jesus is saying that we need to live in the moment. We all want to know what the future holds. We can become preoccupied with the future. But Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Just take it a day at a time and trust in your Heavenly Father. Friends, if you do that, if you apply that in your own life, I can assure you that the worry, the stress, the anxiety in your own life, it's going to be reduced. Well, friends, there you have it. 6 reasons why not to worry as a Christian. And let me just run through this real quick again. Number 1, true life is more than the basic needs of life. We're not just physical, we're not just body, we are body and soul. That's not to say that we're not a unified whole, because we are. But we are body and soul. Number 2, God takes care of the birds and the flowers. And if he can take care of them, then he can take care of you and whatever needs that you have or your family has. Number three, worry and anxiety does not benefit us, not one bit. Number four, worry shows a lack of faith in God. We seem to think that our problems are too big for God to handle. Guess what? They're not. God is God. He can take care of it. Number five, God already knows our needs. He knows our problems better than you do. And number six, and you probably noticed there in the insert that there's a little typo. My apologies for that. Worry shows that we are preoccupied with the future. And yes, as Christians, we ought to be future-oriented. We should be looking forward to heaven, to being with our Savior. But in this earthly life, we need to live day by day and not be preoccupied with the future and what we think we should do and those kind of questions. So the big question, there's six reasons why not to worry, but the big question is this: what is the substitute? What is the remedy for worry? Well, it's very simple. We need to look to Jesus. We need to trust God in faith. Look at what it says in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Originally, I hadn't planned to take a whole week to look at that one verse, but that's actually what we're going to do next Sunday. We're going to look at verse 33 and kind of unpack the meaning of that. But friends, that's the remedy. We seek first Him, His kingdom, His righteousness, and all the things that we think are big problems in the here and now, He's going to take care of them. All these things will be added to you. Friends, what are you worried about? Obviously, this message, it can be applied in a number of different ways, but what are you worried about? Is it something that concerns your health or your body? What about your family? Are you overly fearful and anxious about your family and your kids? What about your future? Or maybe it's those basic needs that Jesus talked about: food, water, clothing, shelter. What about your job or your finances? Or this is obviously the most important thing of all, your soul. Have you entrusted your soul? Have you entrusted your life into the hands of God? The only way that you can do that is through faith. Faith in Jesus, repenting of your sins, believing the gospel, and then becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. That's where the faith journey always starts. But friends, after that, we continue to trust. You must believe that God is able, that He is sufficient. Have you put your life in the hands of God? Have you given yourself wholly to Him? Friends, we need to stop trying to take care of things on our own, to do it our own way and our own resources. We need to give it over to Him. We need to trust Him fully. Will you do that today? Will you do that this morning? Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You that as we open up our Bibles, we know that we have an accurate account of Revelation and that Your Word is truth. Father, would You be at work in our hearts? Would You convict us of sin where necessary? Would You show us those areas of our lives where we're not trusting You, where we're living in fear and anxiety? And may we give it all over to You, because You are faithful, You are able, You are sufficient to meet that need. And Father, would You prepare our hearts to celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper. Thank You for this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.